You're listening to The Kylo Show, the podcast where we talk about how to keep your love on no matter what and why whole healthy families are going to save the world. In this week's episode of The Kylo Show, Danny and Brittany talk about how to identify and attract people with great character. This episode is going to bless your life, and it starts right now.
Welcome, everybody. Thanks for joining us here at The Kylo Show. We are back. We're still in the dating and engagement segment.
We are.
We've been chasing after that the last couple weeks, which is fun. Mm-hmm. Hopefully it's been helpful. We love to encourage all those ones in those pre-marriage relationships, you know, keep chasing after the good stuff. Don't settle for the bad stuff.
Build the tomorrow you want to live in.
That's it. That's our heart and goal with all of this mm-hmm. is really mm-hmm. giving you confidence to have a really big, powerful yes.
Amen.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about today is we're looking for character.
Mm-hmm. Not a character. Mm-mm. Not like Mickey Mouse or Goofy.
Nope.
No.
Nope. But character.
Yes.
Of a person.
Yeah.
And what that looks like, how to find that, how to, you know, measure that.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of diving into some of those things that we find really helpful.
I think character and integrity. Mm-hmm. Go together. And a lot of people don't realize that integrity isn't just about being honest and trustworthy and that sort of thing, as much as it means to be integrated. Mm. So integration is hiding in the word integrity. And so when you bring wholeness to a relationship, to a covenant, to a commitment, you're really, that's where your integrity is on display, is in the way that you, body, soul, and spirit show up in a healthy way in that relationship.
That's good. Mm-hmm. I mean, I never thought of it quite like that. Mm-hmm. I could see the word in there as you're saying.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's
and
good.
So unhealthy is disintegrated. Mm-hmm. You know, so when you disintegrate.
Yeah, that doesn't sound good.
The character that you bring to a relationship, it's horrible. It's mm-hmm. it's deceptive. It's destructive. It's robbery, because you present as something attractive and real, and then there's a disintegration that happens as soon as you move closer. You get to know this person, or you are that person, mm-hmm. whichever, and you come in and trial, test, resistance, mm-hmm. conflict. Mm-hmm. Blows the thing apart and it disintegrates mm-hmm. either the person or the relationship.
Yeah.
Or both.
I can think of so many different couples we've sat with reviewing this premarital assessment. And, you know, you see all the answers that they've given. Sometimes my partner talks harshly or rude or puts me down. Mm. You know, that's one thing that's always a red flag for me is. Mm-hmm. Why does that get to happen?
Mm-hmm.
And why is that okay? The other one of, you know, what I like about you, when I'm often...
Low score.
Yeah, they're like, live irritated is what it looks like. That's always,
I hope to change you.
Yes, and I'm always looking at this going, oh, this is going to be a hard conversation. Mm-hmm. And even the, you know, personal habits or the characteristics category, you know, they... I don't always believe what you say you're going to do. I sometimes doubt my partner's, you know, love for me. I mean, there's just different things that end up in there. And yet people are still willing to keep going through this relationship. And I'm always struck in confusion of what's keeping your yes still so loud to mm-hmm. you mm-hmm. when you continually have these experiences that are hurting you, mm-hmm. that are painful, that are lessening your quality of life, and yet you have a wedding date.
Mm-hmm.
You think something's going to be better on the other side of this? You think this is called wedding planning stress? No, honey, this is what's coming for you times 10.
This reminds me of going backpacking, and at the trailhead, you have a pebble in your boot mm. that you do not do anything about.
Yeah, I've done that.
And by the time you get to the lake,
ow.
you don't have a sore spot, you have a wound that is going to jack up the rest of your hiking trip because you didn't take care of the pebble at the trailhead.
Well, that's a great analogy to what I feel like I've watched so many times.
Totally.
And it's not always ladies. Sometimes I see it's the ladies that are not very nice, and it's the fellas that are just absorbing.
Totally.
And, man, I don't usually know them very well because we're in this big class, but I just want to yell, run, please.
Run away.
Do not do this. Oh, I do it as gently and honestly as we can, Ben and I both. But that is what I think about when looking for characters. It's usually right in front of their face, but yet they're so blinded. And I don't know if that's the la-la-la that we've talked about before.
It is. It's, I want something so bad, I'm willing to practice denial so that I can hold on to this.
That's a hard statement to swallow, but I feel like it's really true.
It's really true. It just happens again and again. And I'd rather just suffer through this than have a really hard conversation or make a really big decision. Yeah. And so kudos to those who courageously initiate, let's stop, I'm going to take this boot off. I know that I'm taking up time. I know we're not going to be there as quick, but I am going to deal with this now. I'm not going to end up wounded and hobbled and infected. I'm not going to do it.
Which I guess this is the moment where you get to test their character. Is I get to call out, hey, we had that sit down meeting and it brought up all these things that, you know, I keep encountering. I don't like that. That needs to change. So that's the test, as I push on it, as I challenge that there needs to be something different that starts being produced in our relationship.
Yeah. Yeah, I say ouch. I learned to say ouch early on, and you learn to listen. And if there's adjustment needed, then great. But people have got to courageously say ouch.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, especially in the dating, they're just like, oh, it's okay. Oh, it didn't matter. No, it's okay. No, I'm over it. No, not that big a deal. No, it's just a pebble. It's just a pebble.
Yeah.
I just can't use that foot anymore.
Right. Do you think part of the, we talked about the la la la, the part of the tolerance though of this is also potentially what they had modeled before them in, you know, their parents or other relationships that are married? Is it a tool? Is it a culture that they've picked up sometimes they don't know?
Classically, yeah. Yeah, I think it's also related to their design. You know, like we've talked about in other episodes and in Successful Confrontation, there's really, we illustrate a bunch of the DISC profile stuff to where you are designed to be to carry dominance, influence, steadfast or conscientious characteristics in some combination, usually with one or two of them ruling how you approach life. And so I think that is another key component to your characteristics, is that you will hard charge something, or you will doormat something, or you will manipulate something, or you will autocorrect everything.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there are these different characteristics you're going to bring. And if you're a hard charger that ends up with a doormat, you know, a lot of those people just end up married because they couldn't stop it. And so they look like a victim their whole marriage. And the dominant person looks like the bad guy the whole marriage. Even the kids grew up going, Mom's a bad guy and Dad's a victim, or you know, or the opposite. Yeah. You know, you're like, well, no, it's actually they're both scared, and this is how they handle fear.
Yep. Okay, so we've talked about this before. What we're looking for in the person with character and integrity,
we have the plumb line.
Mm-hmm. The measuring stick, as we've talked about before. We have to break this down. The first one was a follower of Jesus.
Yes. Yes.
Which I'm glad it's first. It should be first.
It's got to be. You know, if you are going to build a godly home and you're going to create a place for your children to learn godliness and to see it on display, you got to have parents, people, leaders mm-hmm. who are committed to and following Jesus.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Which, what is? How does that manifest? I know how I saw it in Ben, mm-hmm. you know, with his pursuit of his relationship with the Lord, his value for, you know, prayer, fasting, worship. I mean, he was always reading his Bible, still is. He's always has this hunger for the presence of God and trying to figure out how to make space for that in the day-to-day life. So that was how I found it. Mm-hmm.
Well, those are just obvious signs of, you know, fruit. Mm-hmm. There's the fruit of my life of pursuing Jesus. Some people, for whatever reason, think that's not that important. You know, I'll carry it. I'll do it. I'll be me, and you be you. You know, you be you. I'll be me, and we'll do what the Bible says is unequally yoked. Yikes. And when you unequally yoke, that's like, don't put an oxen with a dog on the front of the wagon.
Yes.
You know, because it's just, you know what's going to happen. This is like, okay, that feels like I'm doing all the work over here. Yep, you are. As a matter of fact, all I do is kind of bite you in the leg. And that's how we
grow.
End up, we end up with this totally, this inability to communicate at the deepest level, which isn't even the soul level, it's the spirit level. And so when, you know, you're wholeheartedly pursuing being pleasing to the Lord with your life and your decisions and your family, your marriage, everything, and the other person's like, I don't really care about any of that. Mm. That's just stupid church stuff that you do. I'm more interested in having fun and having a pile of money somewhere and being a good person, and or whatever. I don't even know what the conversation would look like, but it's unsolvable. This problem is unsolvable because we have two completely different goals.
Priorities, yeah, that
we're pursuing. From the start.
Yeah, from the very, I can't imagine building the life that we currently have if myself or Ben weren't on the same page of protecting, pursuing, growing, championing,
and a house divided cannot stand.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, so introduce children to that and they watch this and they go, so we're all on our own, basically, is what you're saying. Every man for themselves? Okay, I see what you're saying. Or pick a team. Pick a team. Okay, well, we're with mom today. No, we're with dad today.
That is a lot of tension.
Poof. This is rough.
Yeah.
This is rough.
Which is the potential belief that I can change you or I can get you saved or I can, I think that I can change you is probably one of the loudest problems I've seen in that lack of balance to pursuing the Lord. And even if it's lukewarm and passionate, I mean, it still feels that it's uneven. Mm-hmm. So they go to church mm-hmm. versus you're engaged in a community at church.
Yeah.
That still qualifies just because, and that's the part that I feel like there's a lot of people willing to, I don't know, bend the rules on because they feel like they go to church,
yeah.
You know, they come to home group.
Yeah. So the difference is, you know, do I go to church or do I follow Jesus? Mm-hmm. And we're following Jesus together. That's what we're doing. Church is kind of a no-brainer. A passionate community is a no-brainer. Accountable to a healthy group of friendships, no-brainer. Mm-hmm. But really, you know, when the chips are down, are you seeking the Lord. Mm-hmm. When the chips are down, will you follow him even if it's costly?
Yeah.
You know, I look at your life, or somebody looks at your life, do they see peace, patience, joy, kindness, gentleness, you know, self-control? Do they see the fruits of the Spirit? Would they describe you as somebody that manifests the fruits of the Spirit?
Yeah. All right. Follower of Jesus.
Yeah.
Must have.
Got to have it. Uh-huh. And then, you know, we've got to agree on what the Bible says about sex and marriage, because it's not, dating isn't for the goal of sex. Dating is for the goal of marriage. Mm-hmm. And the world standard is, there's two groups. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can date for sex. You can, you know, that's, we'll have some fun. We'll pretend like we're doing something here, or we're actually going to build something here, and we're going to protect sex inside of marriage instead of just pour it out all over the table.
Yeah, and it does feel like the ability to just put it wherever it feels like it fits in this relationship keeps me lowering my standard, and then I end up somewhere I didn't actually want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm frustrated and disappointed in myself. And a lot of couples I've seen, or young women I've talked with or friends with, they're like, well, what does it matter at this point? I've already done this.
Mm-hmm.
I've already settled. So to give it away again, it won't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a friend who watched her friend go down this path, and she's coming to me like, what do I do? And I said, well, are you really a friend? And she goes, yeah, I mean, I love her. We are so, so close. I said, okay. Well, then go and have a real conversation with her and ask her what she's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, can I do that? I'm like, if you really have relationship, mm-hmm. then why would you not go to her and pull her up and say, hey, who are you?
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing? What do you want?
Because she's afraid she's going to run into that denial.
Yes. But she did it, and it was so good.
Awesome.
Her friend said, you know, we're not doing this. She's like, well, it looks like you're doing this because you're staying over there. How am I supposed to know that nothing's happening? Because it's just the two of you and you're staying the night together. A plus B equals C. I don't really know where I'm supposed to go with this. And she finally said, yes, we have definitely blurred some lines. And she goes, is that what you want?
Yeah.
And she said, no. She goes, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
And so they stopped all of that. They adjusted. But I was applauded her on being the friend that has that hard conversation.
That is a real good friend. And that's, you know, that's a good sign that you have friends like that still mm-hmm. in your life. But you have to honor those friends mm-hmm. and adjust. And what that young lady doesn't realize about herself is that she's teaching this guy her level of respect.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what level of respect does he have to bring to the relationship? And so when she says, hey, I'm committed to sexual purity, and he goes, really? Are you really committed? I mean, like, what do I have to do?
Well, because, me too, but we're both here.
Yeah. And so maybe if we just chop it off here,
mm-hmm.
then she's really surprised when they get in the marriage and he's got this much pursuit of Jesus,
mm-hmm.
this much of being respectful to her,
mm-hmm.
this much in his integrity. And she's like, what? I thought it was going to be this much. He's like, no, this is all you required from me. And when I feel like it, this is all I'm bringing.
Mm-hmm.
And that at the same time sells the guy way short. He sells himself way short because he married a girl, or he pursued a girl, this kind of character, and he chopped her off right here. And now he's struggling with his own, what he's bringing,
yeah.
because he got rewarded. And it just saddens me to watch people bring it all down here mm-hmm. when this is really what the Lord's trying to do. Is the Lord's trying to raise you up to this place together so that your commitment to respecting her is this high, and her value for herself in the relationship is that high. Mm-hmm. And it's a deception to settle for less.
So if we settle for less, I mean, this is a very generalized question and you probably get a generalized response, but how likely is there to be potential porn that lives in your marriage?
It's all over the place.
Yeah. That's I feel like those things kind of go together.
Well, it's not
100%, but I find that in a lot of cases, I guess.
There's a disrespect that comes into the relationship when you sell it short.
Yeah.
You know, when you drop the standard of the overall covenant, our pursuit of Jesus, mm-hmm. our pursuit of protecting each other, our driving fear out with mature love, all that, when you drop that thing down here, you're now really ashamed. Mm-hmm. You're ashamed.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you've re-identified yourselves and the relationship by compromise.
Man. Okay. So another great one to make sure that you're in partner with is having the same value for sexual ethics.
Yeah.
And that's something you're protecting.
And then do you, Kylo?
Which you guys should know by now. Yeah. So, I mean, we're not going to break them all down for you because, again, you really should know them.
Be powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Choose love over fear.
There it is.
Pursue the goal of connection. Practice respectful communication and honor healthy boundaries.
And those are...
Do you, Kylo?
Please. Those are your measuring sticks
for
in search of character. In the relationship.
All right, we're in overtime.
We are way over time, but that was great. I love that. Okay, we're going to jump into questions, and we'll see you guys in just a minute.
Mm-hmm.
For all our married couples out there, we have something you're going to love. Ben and Brittany's 21-Day Marriage Intensive is back. What's a 21-Day Marriage Intensive? It is 21 days of virtual relationship coaching to strengthen your marriage. It is exclusive webinars, daily activations, and a few people will actually get one-on-one live coaching calls with Ben and Brittany. You're not going to want to miss it. To learn more, go to 21dayintensive.com. That's 21dayintensive.com. Check it out now.
All right, so we're going to jump into questions. And again, if you want to give us a question or testimony, visit thekyloshow.com to do that. We love to hear your questions. So send them away to us. All right. So first question comes from Sarah.
Hi, Brittany and Danny. Thank you for sharing all these words of wisdom. And I have a question related to something you advised a while ago on showing vulnerability and guarding our hearts. And my anecdote is about a man who offered commitment and vulnerability from the very start. But then he put on the brakes when I reciprocated. And this has often puzzled me as it came, especially with some very painful consequences associated with becoming vulnerable and not guarding one's heart. So I was wondering whether you have any thoughts on this or more pragmatically what to do in such situations in the future. Thank you.
I think that we're going after how do we heal from being wounded by being vulnerable, but also how do we protect that covering protection leadership of a man with how much vulnerability does she enter? Because I think, let me start with that. I think that what a lot of ladies either don't understand or they do understand, but they just don't adjust, is that men eat feminine vulnerability like Winnie the Pooh eats honey. You know, there's this thing that makes you feel so masculine and when you're in the presence of a woman's heart. And I think this is why a man has got to have so much respect for it, because otherwise he'll become a predator of it. And so when you have a dating relationship where guys are really just after they're looking, for, you know, they're just looking Winnie the Pooh, and just, you know, gobble it up, And ladies are just throwing it out there because it keeps them around. Well, that's how you end up in bed with him. That's how you end up giving away the farm. Mm-hmm. And then he walks away because he invested nothing. He didn't bring provision, protection, covenant, dedication. He brought none of that. He just came in and ate up all the honey and then he left. And now the girl is afraid to repeat that cycle because it's you know, she feels trashed.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like, you know, he led with some kind of, yes, we're being vulnerable. Here's my vulnerability. And so she matched it and then he withheld and recoiled back and said, no, never, just kidding. Which I always think about your, you know, the jellies in the little jar at the diner, of giving one piece of my heart to you to see how much you, how much care you give to that.
Show me how you do with that right there.
So you may lead with vulnerability. You may display that it's a safe spot. And if I give you my heart and you are gentle and tender and value it, then I'll give you another piece of it. But I can't just give you the whole bowl because you showed me, oh, you want to do this. So you must be a safe person.
Yeah. So he pushes his whole bowl of jellies across the table and expects you to match that. And you're like, no, that's dysfunction. That is terrible boundaries. That is a deception. You know, he's setting you up. And when you push the whole bowl out there, he eats it and then runs.
Yeah, which is what sounds like happened. Mm-hmm. So, Sarah, I think the analogy that hopefully we've explained is, you know, just giving one piece of your heart as a test almost to... Is this vulnerability authentic, real, and mature enough to handle another piece of my heart so that you don't end up in a place of pain and really, you know, probably having to go through some healing to find, you know, her heart intact again and to give it away. So praying for you for that. But yeah, just
one
piece.
Talk more about soul ties and that sort of thing in upcoming episodes.
Which will be really good. Mm-hmm. All right, the next question we have comes from Igor.
Hey, Danny. Hey, Brittany. This is Igor from Brazil. First of all, thank you so much for doing the Kyla Show. I really appreciate it. And here's the thing. I have had friends that they have what looks like a great marriage, and then one of them just up and leaves or has an affair, you know? I have so many questions about this, but what I really want to ask is, number one, how do I keep this from happening to me? And number two, how do I keep from becoming the person that up and leaves or has the affair? Thank you so much.
That is a unusually common observation of people on the outside is they would describe their friends as having this really great relationship with each other and relationship with the Lord. And then one day it's just...
Boom.
Yeah. Like I would say... the African gray, you know, the whole story of the parrot who has a survival instinct so good that when it puts off any indication that it's sick or unhealthy, it's falling out of the tree to the ground. No one could tell that that thing was diseased until it died and fell off the branch. Mm-hmm. And that's really a cloaking mechanism. And so a lot of people... especially Christian people, are pretending. Mm-hmm. They pretend. You know, they fight on the way to church. Yeah. They get to church. Hey, how are you guys doing? Great. How are you? Praise the Lord. Blah, 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 blah. And it's a show. So there's so much production that goes into keeping your image up instead of having people in your life that are saying, how's your connection? Right. How's your communication? How's the... transparency in your have you told your wife these things? Have you told anybody what's going on with you? And sometimes just having groups of people that you have fun with and you enjoy and that sort of thing is not going to cut it. Mm-hmm. You have to have people that you walk in the light with. And those people are not going to all of a sudden do these radically destructive things.
Yeah. That's community piece for Ben and I. I mean, every single young married couple that comes to us or people have been married, you know, 30 years, if we see this pattern, and meeting with them frequently, and we usually ask, what's your community like? Mm-hmm. And often there is no community. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It is, you know, a random little small group that they might show up to every now and then at church, but there's no one that's able to say, what are you going to do about the way you talk to your wife when we're hanging out at a barbecue?
Mm-hmm.
Or the way that, you know, you just told me this story that you think is funny, but it's just belittling your husband in mm-hmm. front of your kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when somebody actually can have that place in your life, that's where things get, I mean, really
brought.
Yeah, it just, things start to grow in a way that they've never grown before. Mm-hmm. And that's how you avoid it, mm-hmm. is you start with healthy community.
Mm-hmm.
And you just bring in that relationship to this healthy community. And
if you're surrounded by smiling, cordial, cooperative people, if that's your community, run away. You're in a deception. Everybody is putting on pretenses. Everybody is trying to project an image. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the people with the most out of control inside have a really put together outside. And you got to be able to see both.
Mm-hmm. So community would be a great answer to that.
Yeah.
All right. The next question we have comes from Matt.
Hi, Danny and Brittany. First off, thanks for doing this show. Secondly, I've heard you guys mention that you attract who you are. So my question is, if I want to attract a spouse of integrity, who's genuine and loves Jesus, how do I grow in those areas of my own life to attract that person?
Well, find it lived out in people around you, that, you know, like leaders, mm-hmm. people that you say, wow, that you got that thing that I want other people to say the same thing about me that I say about you. I want other people to think the same thing about me that I think about you. But again, make sure that it's not just a pretty shiny thing that never struggles, that never has negative emotions, that never has doubts. You know, don't pick one of those, because that's not real. That's a poster. That's an image.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a person. So find a person who can share with you on a heart level how they process through their own life's challenges, and they saw options and they chose the right one. It wasn't like, Jesus made me be this way. No, he did not. Jesus made you free, and you follow Jesus. But you do have options. Somebody has got to be able to show you how they did that,
mm-hmm.
and walk with you.
Yeah, there's lots of different opportunities for you to go and grow.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you just have to look for one,
mm-hmm.
and get some good feedback of where you're maybe missing some areas,
mm-hmm.
Whether it's community, your leaders, or maybe the same encounter you keep finding yourself in. Mm-hmm. That's probably a good opportunity to look and to go, I'm finding myself in the same situation that I don't want to be in. So what do I need to change?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's so many, I'm flooded with, you know, there's school ministry is a great opportunity for you to go and just inject your life with some biblical truth and courage in a way maybe that you're lacking.
Mm-hmm.
Different courses at your church, different Life Academy courses that we've got. You know, there are all different ways to grow yourself. It just, you need to identify what those areas are. If you don't know how to do that, get some good feedback to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. Find a great role model and be a student.
That's how you should do it.
Good
awesome.
Job, Matt.
Great questions. Again, you want to give us your questions, thekylashow.com is where to go. All right, we're going to jump into testimonies next.
You shouldn't have to live disconnected from your spouse, but it happens a lot. If you're struggling with communication and connection, then you need the 21-Day Marriage Intensive. It's 21 days of virtual relationship coaching to strengthen your marriage. To learn more, go to 21dayintensive.com. That's 21dayintensive.com. Go check it out now.
All right, so we are in the testimony slot, and this one comes to us from Chris today.
Keeping your love on really impacted my life by helping redefine some areas that I really needed clearer core values to help navigate some of the things that I'm going through. And it really helped me to see that safety, vulnerability, and connection were pathways that I was going to begin to build most of my relationships going forward with. And any area that I didn't have real connection, I needed to go back to square one. Look for ways to take fear out of the equation and build safety and security into the relationship. From there, I could move to vulnerability that was honorable and rewarded and actually something that was what we wanted. And vulnerability was something I looked for. And ultimately, connection was built in most of the relationships going after. That became my goal and my focus more than just agreement or being right. And so as a person who's been in the ministry 15 plus years and someone who deeply wants to be a facilitator of genuine connection, I have to say that the sessions that I had with Danny and Julie and some of the team really impacted, changed my life. Super grateful for them. And really, like I said, just defined some things for me personally. Safety, vulnerability, and connection are now things that I begin to use as just pillars in my own personal life. And so I recommend it to anybody listening. Hope you get a chance to keep your love on, hear the content, and have breakthrough in your personal life.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
he's telling the truth. It's all true.
It's all true.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the revelation, you know, of those three things is key moving forward, that, you know, you have to create a safe place there for there to be the vulnerability that is the exchange of truth so that you can build the trust, and that you understand that disconnection is the worst problem in the world. Mm-hmm. And so how do we build connection? How do we protect connection? How do we strengthen connection so that as we grow through all these years together, we'll end up with this bulletproof connection that is, you know, we can put a lot of weight and we can really pull on this connection in either direction. And there's enough truth and trust there that we bring out the best in each other long term.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, he sounds like he really has redefined some life-changing pillars.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, his wording was, I want to become a facilitator of this. You mm-hmm. know, I just love that description of being able to be a host of, you know, safety, connection, and really just the Kylo principle, something that I'm practicing mm-hmm. everywhere I go, that all the people that I'm around get to encounter this mm-hmm. as the new, you know, experience of me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fun to hear.
And he brings up the word facilitator, and that just reminds me of all these people. And Chris might be one of them. I'm not sure where we've crossed paths, but being a facilitator of the Life Academy courses is one of the ways that you not only get to distribute this to your friend circle or your community or people that you lead, but it also is another reinforcing practice for you in learning this stuff and how to take it home and mm-hmm. demonstrate it in your own life. But the facilitator program, you know, is on, you know, we're gathering more and more people that are facilitating all over the world now.
Mm-hmm.
And
awesome.
So Ben is their leader.
He is.
And it's as easy as you know, just enrolling on the Loving on Purpose page, you know, go to courses, go to facilitators, and there you are. And then there's the Facebook page that is a invite only, but you get in there and that's where you see Ben and all the other people practicing. And he and I have weekly calls on there, and Then we have a facilitator call right after that. So all our facilitators, well, as many as can make it, are either getting on there and asking their questions, or they're watching it later and getting their questions answered. But I like that facilitator word because it kind of plays into a whole bunch of what we're doing right now.
It's true. It's true. But it, I mean, he's doing a great job of, this is who I am now. This is what I operate in, and this is what I'm yep. changing. And that's it's super, super fun to hear. Mm-hmm. Again, so I don't know where he lives, but he's doing it. He's, you know, we call it the Kylo evangelist, you know, where they're out there talking about Kylo stuff. And I had a call with somebody, and they were telling me how many times they've given away the book, Keep Your Love On, because they feel like it's the most needed message in any situation. And that's just what these testimonies are proving over and over again, is that these people found how to do healthy relationships, and they don't want to let go. They want to keep doing it, and they want to keep cheering about it, yelling about it, talking about it. You know, wherever they are, they're giving it away.
Healthy, intimate relationships are the most rewarding thing, I think, in life, really. I mean, if you look around and you think about the places where that's an option for you, mm-hmm. it's the place you're most attracted.
It's very true. Because whole, healthy families will save the world.
It's true. Somebody said that once.
I know. Yeah. Well, I love when everyone says it back to us, whether it's on a post or even in these testimonies, when they say it back, it's like, yes. Such a good thing.
It's working.
It's so good.
Yeah.
We've had lots of fun things going on. Our Marriage Mondays, our marriage movement, I think they're not on Mondays, but I've got another M in there.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. But those are fun. Those are
our marriage movement celebration.
Mm-hmm. It's close. I think you were right.
Was it?
Near there.
It sounds like, what do we call it?
But that's just, again, another testimony of people choosing each other.
Marriage Celebration Movement. That's what we call it. MCM. There
MCM.
We go. That's what we're doing.
That's it. But it's just talking about the goodness of healthy relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And healthy marriages create healthy families. And it's such good, needed stuff.
I know. It's like people just holding up Goliath's head, 5 years marriage. 15 years married, 25, 45 years. Like, poof, okay, that's some doing victory. Right there. Yeah.
I guess since we're in the dating and engaged segment, just fight for those Kylo principles, those things that we've been talking about, so you can have that victorious win on the other side of this.
Yeah.
Because it's so worth the effort of.
It's happening all over the world.
Yeah. Do it now so you can. So you can celebrate the victories later.
Come on. We look forward to seeing your picture.
Yep. That's it. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us here on The Kylo Show. And remember, whole healthy families, people are going to save the world.
That's right.
We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Join us next week when Danny and Brittany talk about biblical sex ethic and sexuality. Never miss an episode of The Kylo Show by subscribing to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or watch us on the Loving on Purpose YouTube channel. Submit your questions and testimonies to thekyloshow.com. The Kylo Show is produced by Ali Armading, co-produced by Ashley Beck, Leah Alexander, Anna Hill, and Sherry Silk, sound engineered and edited by Taylor Silk, and show promoter Christian Zamora. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.